brought Mr. Barker back, the activities director for the Aleutians East Borough, and we are going to finish talking about girls basketball and also take this time to really educate about the opportunities that exist for athletes after high school. And I have a little bit of a personal experience about that, and Paul's going to talk a little bit about what coaches look for in players and how players can start developing or maybe honing in on those characteristics that will make them stand out in the future. So last week we talked about and kind of wrapped up the season for cross country and wrestling and boys and girls basketball. And we got cut off when we were talking about the awesome season that King Cove had with girls basketball. And so maybe if you could summarize that again, Paul, that would be awesome.
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to, Lindsay. So with the King Cove girls basketball team, the rookies, they were able to wrap up their season with just a huge exclamation point. I think right before we got cut out last week, I was able to just share with everyone that they were able to finish their season this year on a 55-game win streak that dated back to last season. And they were playing really, really challenging competition throughout the last two seasons. They held the number one ranking for the AABC coaches poll for basically 2 years running as being recognized as one of the top, as the top 1A girls program in the state. That was a very successful team. It was a thrill to watch them and just be present at their games, because you really felt like you were in the presence of just a great team that just had everything clicking for them at once. So it's almost like, I remember when I was in high school, you remember those particular teams or those particular student athletes that just stick out in your head as, that was the best high school athlete that I remember seeing. And most of us have a story like that from when we were in high school. And for a lot of people in this region, that's going to be Elena Mack on the King Cove Rookies. She's one of the best basketball players that we got to watch in the region in a really long time. So it was just a gift and a blessing to just be able to watch her have the culmination and all the reaping of all the hard work that she's put in really throughout the course of her entire life, just coming up to this point. She had a nice culminating moment in her senior year.
That is awesome. And there were two other seniors I think we had mentioned being a big part of that rookies team. Is that right?
Yeah, so you can't really say the name Elena Mack without saying Jalea Duarte and Sadie Newton in there as well. And that was a trio of seniors that King Cove had on their basketball team this year that really demonstrated the epitome of leadership, hard work, dedication, and just everything of what it means to be a student athlete. I mean, these three young ladies whatever they touch really turns to gold, or maybe we should say black and gold because they're King Cove rookies, and they're just stellar student athletes. All three of them perform incredibly in the classroom. They always have. They also demonstrate a really key quality in regards to leadership, Lindsay, which I think will guide a lot of our conversation as we go on to begin about to talk about what it takes to play at the next level once you leave high school, and that's that leadership quality. And those three young ladies really exhibit that at all times. I mean, their behavior on and off the court is impeccable, and they're just fantastic students in the classroom. And then they just translate that success over to the basketball court, where they find similar success due to the foundation that they've built throughout the past 4 years in high school.
That is just amazing, and I can really identify with those girls having had an excellent senior season myself playing softball. I believe two of those girls are going to be playing in college, am I correct, if not the third one as well?
Yeah. So I know that they're all pursuing playing either volleyball or basketball at the next level in college.
Excellent. And so I don't want to talk too much about specifics just because I'm not sure if that's public information and I don't want to say a wrong school. So we'll just leave it at that. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so the main point is that, yes, they are going to be pursuing college athletics, and that is kind of the part where I wanted to transition our conversation, because for all of the athletes on in the Aleutian Islands, Aleutians East Borough, excuse me, sorry about that, that there are opportunities that you can go to school and actually earn athletic money to go and play at all levels. And so I kind of want to take a step back before I get into how that's possible and to share a little bit about my personal experience. So having grown up in Phoenix, Arizona, my parents put me in T-ball at the age of 5, and I fell in love with that sport, although much like any rookie athlete at the age of 5, you run the bases the wrong way. So I was inducted into that club. But nonetheless, I found a love for softball, and starting in junior high, I started playing year-round, both for my junior high team and then also for like a rec group, so to speak. And then when I got into high school, the club teams, the travel ball, the competitive teams, recruited me, and so I played hardcore softball all the way up to my senior year. Well, I had an experience of adversity my senior year playing volleyball, and the first practice of my senior year, I compound dislocated my ankle when I came down on the blocker's feet. So that put me in a cast till about February. So now my whole goal was to earn a college scholarship at this point, and I'm sitting in a cast from about August till November, and I got to figure out how I'm going to be ready for softball season in February. And so I accomplished that and then ended up having an amazing senior year and earned a scholarship to an NAIA school in Nebraska. I did end up going on an official visit, which when you are recruited out of high school, college coaches will pay for your flight and travel to come out to the university or college and see what it's like, right? They kind of lay out the red carpet because really they want you to play for them, so they're going to offer you whatever it takes for you to play there. So I had that opportunity to go on an official visit to a community college in Texas. And we'll talk a little bit later about some things to evaluate when you're looking at whether or not you want to play in college, but even though that community college laid out the red carpet for me, it did not feel right. It wasn't a good fit. I didn't really have a great experience on my trip, and I ended up going to the NAIA school. That was a lot more expensive, but because of my experience on their visit and also the relationship with the coach and a couple of the players that I had developed prior to that, I decided to go to that school in Nebraska. And that's how I met my husband, and now I'm in Delta Junction, Alaska, because that's where he's from. Mm-hmm. So he was out there playing baseball, and I was out there playing softball, and learned a lot that first year. And, you know, you just evaluate, like, why are you here, you know? And, yes, I was playing softball, and that was my goal, and I loved it. Didn't realize that playing in cold weather was something I wasn't going to be very fond of, having played in 110, you know, my whole life in Arizona. So there were just a lot of factors that you look at, regardless of whether or not you're playing a sport, you know, is the value of the education you're getting worth the money you're paying? That was a big question I had to ask myself. And so after that first year, I didn't go back, and that was the end of my career, so to speak, as a softball player. So fast forward about 4 years, and when I came up to Alaska, when I moved in 2005 and I got my master's degree at UAS in guidance and counseling, you had to do a master's project, and I chose to do my topic on how secondary school counselors can better assist the student-athlete triangle in the athletic recruiting process. That's a really long title for basically saying, how can a school counselor help students get recruited? And so I had to focus on a population, and I focused on Division I men's basketball. And this was in 2008, and this is when the NCAA really was looking at the academic portion of Division I basketball, you know, where you're at, you're at the elite level. These are the athletes you're talking about that you're watching on TV, you know, Duke and Auburn, and, you know, we all know those big names if we're into basketball. And this is also the time, and I don't know if you remember, Paul, but the time where diploma mills online were just all over the place, right? These online schools that were just passing out certificates so that these athletes can get on to the next level. Well, at the NCAA level, it's creating a big mess, and I don't know if you can speak to that or not. But that's kind of the background about how I got to this piece of really wanting to help student athletes be knowledgeable about the opportunities that do exist at the next level. And so that's kind of where I want to take this conversation, is that whether or not you're being pursued by a college coach or you're going to a school, there are lots of ways that you can still get noticed. So I'll talk about one of them, and, you know, one of them is just through high school coaches, right? So your high school coach might know a friend back in, you know, Vermont, let's say, who knows a friend who's a basketball coach, and because of those characteristics you were talking about in some of the athletes that are in our schools, they would call up and be like, hey, you know, I've got this great wrestler, and these are the characteristics they possess. This is what their season was like. Do you have any room for them on your team? And that's kind of how you can get the conversation started on that level. And I don't know if that's what happened in our district or not. Do you know?
Yeah. So I can speak to that a little bit, Lindsay. So especially when I was coaching the King Cove rookies basketball team several years ago, I used to give coaches calls for my seniors that were actively looking at playing at the next level. So I guess where it starts, Lindsay, I usually bring it back to a positive relationship between the student athlete and their coach. You know, I can't really speak to how pivotal that is. And the reason it's so pivotal is because if it's the student athlete's desire to play at the next level and go on to play in some kind of college setting, you know, whether it be a big school or a junior college, what have you, or a smaller school like an NIA college, then that the relationship and the communication of that goal and that desire really needs to be a conversation that happens between the student athlete and their coach, and always their parent as well, to be brought into that conversation, just so that the coach is aware of the goal, and so that everyone is on the same page for what the student athlete is trying to accomplish and what their family's desires are, so that the coach can begin to network and connect the family and the player with the correct resources to try to align themselves with that goal and really what they have in their in their athletic arsenal, so the coach can better assist with finding a program that might match up with the values that student athlete is attempting to pursue.
That's such a good point, because once everybody's on board with the goal, then that's where the school counselor comes in, because not only do you have the athletic side of it, you also have the academic side of it. And the school counselor has to be in the know, because depending on the level that you want to play at, Paul, you had mentioned NAIA, and those are usually like small liberal arts colleges, and they're private, so they tend to be a little bit more expensive due to private donors funding the institutions. But nonetheless, it's still a level to play at. However, their eligibility criteria is not as strict as what the NCAA is. And so really this school counselor comes in on that just to make sure that the student is meeting academic eligibility for NCAA Division I and Division II, because that's where the athletic money comes in, and you have to be academically eligible in order to play. So there's a lot of rules in certain classes and GPAs and test scores that you have to meet. Not only that, but those criteria are different than the actual admission requirements for the university. So a student playing at that level really is the amount of eligibility is very intricate, meaning like there's so many pieces of that a student needs to do well in and excel in to play at that level. But as we were talking about, there are so many other ways that you can play. There's Division III in NCAA, and that is where you can still play a sport. However, the athletic money is not there, that they don't provide an athletic scholarship. However, there are still academic scholarships as well as private scholarships, so it's still a place to play. And you still, you know, sports is sports, and competition is competition wherever you're at. So it's still a great place to play. Coming from a small school district, like where I live in Delta Junction, and that was where I spent a lot of my career at, I was really an advocate for a junior college. And obviously living in Alaska, our junior colleges, our traditional junior colleges, are all out of state. But what that allows a student to do is that when you don't come from a high-level program, and maybe there are some skills that you need to perfect, or maybe just have a little bit more of a competitive experience, going to a junior college still allows you to have the potential opportunity to be recruited by the Division I, Division II schools at the NCAA level. And I just feel like that's a really good fit for a lot of students, because just like high school, you have 4 years of eligibility as well in college. So a junior college is only 2 years of school, and then you can transfer and still have 2 more years of eligibility at a different level. So there's really 3 divisions. There's the NCAA, the NJCAA, which is a junior college, and then the NAIA. So a really good point on just being upfront about what your goals are with your team, which, you know, is your coach, your parents, maybe your teachers, the school counselor. There are also other ways, and I'll share a little bit about my recruiting experience. So we, back in my day, I had to write a letter. So it was just like a cover letter, basically. And I had to mail it out to all of the colleges that I was interested in playing at. And then they would send me all of their media from the school, right? Like, oh, it's so great that you're interested in University of Michigan. Here's, you know, everything about our campus, blah, blah, blah. And so that initial letter was just a way to kind of get introduced to the school or the college coach themselves. Well, then you had to have a athletic profile. And that was a template that had your picture on it, your demographic information, all of your stats associated with your sport, and you would send that along with it as well. And then if the recruiting process was speeding up and they were interested in you, you produced a skills page. And that was where you went out with whoever, and they filmed you in various areas of your sport. So, like, I was softball, so it was you know, fielding a ground ball at shortstop and pitching and hitting and whatever it was. And you had to mail all of those VHS tapes out to all of the schools, right? So it's a very lengthy process. Athletes these days can use services online, like the NCSA, I believe is a website, or NSA. Anyway, there are recruiting websites available out there, and you do pay for them, so there is a fee associated with it. But it can serve two purposes, actually. If you do intend to sign up for something like that, it will match you with colleges that fit the profile information that you entered or the type of schools that you desire to play at. And so, you know, maybe you don't end up being recruited, or you decide that that's not what you ultimately want to do after high school. It can also be a college match as well. So instead of, like, you know, maybe going to Florida and figuring out, oh, I just, you know, I want to go there, and maybe it's not a best fit for you based on the location or the size of the school or the type of degrees that you have, this program can help you match that. Because when you're being recruited, there's, like, two sides to think of it, right? The sport is your job, essentially, and then you have the academic side of it. And you would think the academic side of it is your job, but not really, because when you are playing for a university, they expect a lot in return. So that's like two-a-day practices, morning and night. You're trying to manage your school schedule within that. You need time for lunch and dinner. Like, where's socialization happening? And so it can be a lot, just even as a college student, and then you put athletics on top of it. So playing in college, you really need to make sure, like, that's something that you desire to do, because it does become your job. And I don't know if you have any experience on that side of it that you can offer advice, Paul.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Lindsay. So, I think it comes back to, you know, before you decide to make that kind of commitment, if it's within your goal set to pursue an activity at the next level in a college environment, you know, I think that's where a resource such as a school counselor can become just very invaluable. Whereas, you know, the expectations as far as the institution is concerned, I mean, just personal experience for me, I remember when my sister was recruited and went and played Division I soccer in Philadelphia for LaSalle University. And she went under that stress that you were describing, and the expectations from the institution were very rigorous, to say the least, and just, you know, two-a-day practices, and a team collaboration, and a mindset of, you know, soccer is why I'm here. But then the institution's also going to expect you to take on a full course load and maintain your eligibility as a student. So, you know, being almost like being, you know, she was there on a scholarship, so she had very high expectations that she had to maintain academically and, you know, just socially. You know, the way that she was viewed as a student of her school, she wasn't just a student, she was a student athlete. So she was held to a much higher standard than other students and other peers that she was around. And soccer was her whole life while she was there. And she eventually, as she was going through her schooling, she phased out of participating in soccer and just focused on academics. And with that, you know, she makes decisions and you know, you might lose your scholarship if that's what you decide to do. So all of that comes into the equation when you want to start thinking about playing at the next level.
It really does, you know, and there's not a right or wrong answer about it. I just know at the college level, especially what you're describing with your sister, your mental game has to be just on point to be able to work through all of the different levels of stress that we were describing. And knowing, like, when it's time to get help, if you're having trouble managing all that. And that can be the same as high school. Those same expectations that a student athlete is feeling can be at the high school level as well. And so just kind of knowing when you need some support and knowing when you need to evaluate the choice you made, and making a decision for yourself, I think is the most important part. I was kind of in that same boat. I loved playing softball. It was a passion of mine. And I got to that level, and it just became an evaluation of, is this what's important to me in my life right now? And at that time, it wasn't. And I was okay with that, you know, and I moved on, and life is still okay and stuff like that. So you just really have to know what's best for you when you make it to that level. And so if you don't end up being recruited out of high school, there are still opportunities where there is potential to earn an athletic scholarship. So let's say you end up going to the University of Washington, let's say, and maybe you find that you want to join their club team, which is a lot of universities, even junior colleges, sometimes even NAIA schools will have club teams, which is kind of like their rec team. You can end up getting on an elite team there, and depending on your ability or how much you grow, right, like people can be talking about your potential, and then that can just filter to the college coach. And you could be offered an invitation to try out as a walk-on. And so a walk-on is somebody that wasn't recruited but had the opportunity to try out with the actual university team. And when that happens, there's been amazing success stories. I don't know if you can, if you have one that comes to your mind, Paul, about any athlete that has been in that situation where they came in as a walk-on and then, you know, all of a sudden they're this mega star. I mean, go ahead.
I can think of a local just from when I was in high school. This is a New Jersey story. So he's a current Dallas Cowboy. But he was recruited out of Lakewood High School in New Jersey, and I remember watching him when he was in high school, and then he was a little younger than I was, so when I went to college, he was still playing. But, he wound up going to Monmouth University, which is in Long Beach in New Jersey. It's a Division I college, and he wound up, you know, he wasn't recruited. And, you know, his high school was just a small suburban high school. So he wasn't recruited, but it was the local, Division I institution.
Yeah.
It was just in the area. And he went, he went there his freshman year, and then his name was Miles Austin. He was a wide receiver, and he wound up getting an invitation to try out for the Monmouth University football team. Wound up getting a scholarship to walk on to the team, and then was drafted into the NFL. He wound up playing for the Dallas Cowboys. And now I know Miles Austin's story just a little bit more because, again, he was a local, in the local circle that I grew up in. So I knew a lot of the people that he played with, but also because I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan, I knew his for that reason.
That is awesome, and so I think that's the message that I want to leave our listeners with, is that, you know, you might think you're coming from a small island, you know, on the Aleutian Chains, and, you know, kind of like, I've only played 1A, and there are these huge, you know, schools out there and pros, but, like, never give up, because there is a place to play, and you can always perfect your skills. And there are opportunities, like when you walk on, to, you know, still get an opportunity to play at an elite level. And so I think I just want to go back to what you said at the beginning, Paul, is that if that is your goal, say it out loud and let somebody know, because they can help you get there. If you don't tell anybody what your dreams are and what your goals are, then the support system that you need to get there isn't going to know how to help you. So they call it manifestation, I think, right? You got to put it out in the universe in order for it to manifest. And so I know that our schools have a lot of great athletes that not only possess the athletic abilities, but also the coachable characteristics and work ethic that it takes to play at an elite level. So I would just like to wish our students that are headed to those opportunities the best of luck and never give up. Do you have any parting words?
Yeah, definitely the best of luck to those. So if I could just speak on one more topic there, Lindsay, just about, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, the top end of it, you know, your juniors and your seniors as they begin to, you know, get serious about post-secondary. But I just want to let all those student athletes know that are younger, you know, your eighth grade, even your eighth grade student athletes, you know, through your sophomores, that you know, there, one of the biggest issues out in these communities, Lindsay, is, you know, with our extremely talented pool of student athletes that we have, a lot of times they just have an issue with being exposed, you know, to seeing other things and just and just speaking and networking. You know, it's all about making those connections and networking. So, you know, we work really hard within the athletic department at this this school district to connect young youth student athletes with summer opportunities for basketball camps, volleyball camps, connecting them with resources that are going to go past the school year and outside of their athletic season, to continue to work in within their event and within their student activity to become more proficient and get more of that exposure and to begin networking more. So that's where it starts. You know, in those summer breaks, to go out and look for an opportunity, and this is where, you know, your coach and your school counselor can help you with exposing yourself to some of those opportunities that are outside of your season. You know, like a summer basketball camp.
Really, really good points. I attended a few of those opportunities, especially at a couple of universities. Arizona State was obviously the one in my area. But, yes, tremendous opportunity to start getting noticed at such a young age, eighth grade, ninth grade. And then if you continue to go back, they become familiar with you, and then they watch you, and you let them know that, hey, our games are streaming at, you know, whatever, apradio.org. And they watch you, and then, yeah, you just develop that relationship, and it grows. And then who knows, ultimately you get that scholarship that you had dreamed about getting in the first place. So that's a really good point, Paul.
Yeah, well, thank you, Lindsay. I'm glad to be able to join you here and get some of this information out to our young student athletes. Thank you.
Yeah, and definitely if anybody has questions, ask Paul. He's there as your activities director. I think that your position's changing next year. Is that right?
Yes, Lindsay, yes. So next year I won't be the activities director for the Aleutians Eastboro School District next year, but I'll be the principal of King Cove School and just targeting and willing and just hoping to be able to serve those students then with whatever their post-secondary goals are. I'll obviously be there as a resource to help any prospective student athletes to continue to achieve their goals after they leave high school in my new role. But the new activities coordinator will also be in King Cove, and that's Miss Amy Mack, who has held this position before. So we're excited to have her back into that role.
Excellent. A lot of great resources in our district. I love it. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for your time, Paul. It was so fun talking sports with you, and I hope our listeners have a great day today.
Great. All right. Well, thank you, Lindsay. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.